All right. Thank you for being here and in your place tonight. And thank you for your faithfulness. And ushers are coming down. We're passing out the notes. Is that what that is? Okay. So make sure you get one of those. We are in the lessons on Proverbs, on the wisdom of avoidance. By the way, I want to thank you for being out and passing out the Easter invitations. And it's going well. And let's make sure we get all those out, 30,000 of them. And just make it your goal to have someone here with you on Easter Sundays. As they're passing them out, by way of review, we understand that the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And wisdom has nothing to do with your intelligence. And in a crowd like that, we ought to all be thankful for that, right? It has to do with the ability to take what God tells us in his word and apply it to our life. We've mentioned, and I won't go over it, but Proverbs, when it comes to wisdom, it talks about different individuals, but when it comes to wisdom, it talks about three individuals, and I hope you know them by now. It talks about the wise man, the foolish man, and the simple man. The wise man, when it comes to avoidance, is one who learns God's word and avoids that which God tells him to avoid in his life. The fool is one who ignores and defies God's word, and he embraces that which God says that he should avoid in his life. The simple one just simply doesn't know or understands God's word, so he doesn't know what he is to avoid in his life. We've already mentioned a couple things. We've talked about we are supposed to avoid sinful people. We are supposed to avoid specific paths in life. In other words, to avoid certain sinful directions in life. And then last week, we started on number three, and it kind of seems out of a place, but we are to avoid stern punishments. Stern punishments. One of the things this is the whole concept of the fact that God, as a father, disciplines his children. The Bible word is chastening. The verses are right there in Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. My son, despise not. That means I don't want to have anything to do. I have a wrong view of the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son, and whom he delighteth. And so we are not supposed to despise when God brings things into our life or does things in our life that really are a result of the fact that we are starting to get into some bad areas of our life, or we're starting to allow some things. It doesn't even have to be really overtly bad, but things in our life that he does not want us to have to be a part of our life. And if we're God's child, he is going to discipline or chasten us so that we quit doing those things. He tries to get our attention. Now, as I mentioned last week, nobody likes correction, because when we're corrected, that means then we were wrong. And no one likes to admit that they are wrong. By way of review, a couple things here. We said last week, and I think it's in your little handout, accepting correction and not avoiding it is necessary to growth and change. Right? When we discipline our children, what are we trying to do? We're trying to affect change in their life. We're trying to get them to change in action and attitude, anything that they're doing in their life that's not wrong, that if it's not corrected, as they get older, it's going to cause big problems in their life. Understand, when God corrects us, God is trying to help us and not hurt us, right? And by the way, when we look at the Bible, it's all a matter of looking at it from that concept. When we look at the Ten Commandments, right, there are things that we should not do. Thou shalt not. And there's things that thou shalt. There's things we should do. And we take a negative view of it. But no, thou shalt not are things that would hurt us. Thou shalt are things that would help us. And that's what God is trying to get us to allow in our life. And sometimes we need his correction to get us to there. Now, when we think of correction, we're thinking strictly of spiritual spanking, but correction's not always that way. There's other little things that God may allow to kind of get our attention, to teach us some things. That's the worst case scenario. And the best thing it is to do is to accept what God says on face value and try to apply it to our lives right away instead of avoiding it and thinking we can get away with it so that God starts to bring those things in our life to get our attention. We said last week, what are the wrong attitudes that we should avoid when it comes to God's correction? The first thing we said is the wrong attitude about what it's for. Court case, it's for correction. God is trying to turn us away from some things. He also uses it for instruction, to teach us where we're wrong. Not just don't do that. Now, when kids are little, we don't give them a full explanation, right? You got a 2-year-old and they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. You just say, don't do it. And they say, why? And it's because I said. Sit there and debate with a 2-year-old. Now, as they get older, you start to train them these things. Hey, you've tried to teach them, your authority says you do it, you do it. Now you're trying to teach them as they get older the whys behind it. Here's the instruction. Here's why you don't do those things. Then we need to make sure we don't have the wrong attitude about how it's done. We think of chastening strictly as spanking, but we looked last week, there's other methods to it, right? Look, sometimes they do something, it's just maybe you take away a privilege. Maybe you give them an extra responsibility to take care of. You're just trying to get their attention. And it matches the excuse me, the transgression. Some parents like are over the top with everything. And that's not helpful either. So you try to match that up. And God sometimes brings certain things. Maybe we get a rebuke somewhere. We're listening in a service and we hear something or we're specifically get caught up in something. We have a negative result in our life and we can trace it back to an area of disobedience to God and we fix that. Could be an unpleasant consequence. And so we looked at all of that last week. Now, let's look at some new things. What do we need to be careful about when it comes to about having the wrong attitude? The next one is this: the wrong attitude about why it's done. Why it's done. Now, we looked at a couple of the whys. I get it. To correct us, to instruct us, and those type of things. But why does God do that? And by the way, a lot of this will apply to how we interact with our children. Well, here's a few things. First of all, and we don't see it this way, right? Because of God's love for us. Why does God chasten us? Because he loves us. Look the verse in Proverbs, verse 12. For whom the Lord, what is that word? Loveth, he chasteneth. Loveth. We think of love as taking our kids to Disneyland, buying them toys, giving them things. And there's nothing wrong with doing some of those things. But that we look at other things, punishments and trying to teach them and trying to get some discipline in their life. Well, yeah, no. It's all because of love. You're trying to raise your child to be, here's where our society is struggling, mature adults. It is hard to find mature adults in our society. They're a bunch of babies because they've never been disciplined. They've been given everything they've ever wanted. They whine and gripe and complain. And you throw a phone at them or an iPad or whatever. And now they've grown up and they're adults in name and age only. Okay? No, they're not an adult when it comes to handling things in life. As soon as something happens, they fold like a chair. I mean, they go to work and their boss is mean to them and they're going to quit or gripe and complain. Deal with it. By the way, if you learn how to deal with a boss like that, you're ready for marriage. Okay? I'm kidding. But you're ready for life. You know, we just don't do. Yeah, I just don't want to hear it because that goes against what I think. Grow up. I hear a lot of things I don't agree with. Need to grow up. But anyhow, back to the reality. God loves us. Look at the verses there in Hebrews. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Isn't that what most people are? They hear something they don't want and they fold up. That is our society in a nutshell. Well, I believe there's 75 genders. No, there isn't. Oh, I'm going to go commit suicide and it's your fault. What a ninny. It's like the nicest thing I can say. It's like we can't disagree. Okay? They don't want to be confronted with the truth. You know? That type of thing. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. That's high-end chastening. Every son whom he receiveth. See, here's our problem. We have this warped belief that it is unloving to discipline our children. And so if we believe that, we're going to believe it is unloving for God to discipline us. It's the most loving thing you can do. Right? Well, you know, Pastor, if I give my children any form of discipline, we're hurting them. No, you're hurting them by teaching them that life is like whatever you want and there are no consequences. That's hurtful. Because they're going to live their life like there's no consequences, and they're going to find out when it's way too late that there are consequences. And then when the consequences come, like little immature individuals, they're not going to be able to handle it. We're not hurting them. When God's disciplining us, it's a sign of his love. Oh, hashtag blessed. Everything's going well. What about when it's not going well? No one says, look, I got this consequence that came, blessed. I'm just going through a trial. Maybe God's trying to teach you something in that trial you wouldn't have learned had he overly given you some things that you really didn't deserve. And by the way, if you learn the lessons and go forward, you will be blessed and you'll be thankful you went through those things. You're not hurting them. We just hate taking things from them. You know what? Sometimes they need that. Because it's not about the gratification of the moment. It's about building a life of character. I remember, it was probably about 15 years ago. I don't know, Brother Ross, you remember, but we had a child in our school. And they went to another good church. And it was senior trip. I don't remember this. And they were leaving on a Monday morning. And the girl came and she was all packed, ready to go. Well, she had done something to get in trouble. And her dad found out after she went to school early, to go on the senior trip. You remember that, Brother Ross? You know what he did? He came here. I mean, this is senior trip. They've been planning it for, 6 months? Dad comes here, grabs her suitcase and says, you ain't going on senior trip. I mean, she was leaving in 15 minutes. You say that's harsh. What she did, she needed to get the message. And maybe you don't agree with that, but to me, would you have done that? I'm not sure. But to me, it's more important they learn a life lesson you cannot continue down that path in life. Okay? And what we, but I just don't want to take, it'll hurt their little feelings. Well, what's going to happen when life smacks them in the face? What's going to happen to us spiritually if we think we can just do our own thing? And we can get away with it because we're under grace. And we don't think God's going to deal with us, or we're trying to ignore what he's trying to teach us. I'd rather lose a little bit on the front end and gain a lot on the back end. And so it's not unloving. The fact of the matter is the opposite is true. The most unloving thing you can do is not to teach or train your children by discipline. So they're going to grow up maintaining those wrong attitudes and actions and hurt themselves for a lifetime. We think we hurt them. We think we're being hurt by being disciplined. No, we're going to be hurt if we don't learn discipline and we continue down this path and our life turns out to be a train wreck. We think we're being unloving because something got taken away. What about when it gets permanently taken away? And so God really loves us, and part of that love is he's teaching us. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 15. Pastor, I want to be a wise man. Okay, here we go. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, again, this is applied to a child, but it can be applied to us as spiritual children, can it not? When God allows something in our life because of it. And by the way, when we're going through this, don't think of it as the far end of sin. Although if you're in some far end of sin, you need to get your act together. But think of it as, you know, the small things in life that we do, right? If your kids lie, are you trying to to teach them something so that they don't lie and get worse at it, right? You try to teach them small things. Years ago, we used to, when I had the soul winning, back in the days, I would stop and get Krispy Kreme donuts on Tuesday night. You say, Pastor, why don't we do that? We have a budget now. But that's back when they used to give you a free one. Remember that? So on Tuesday night, I'd leave early for soul winning, and the kids were smaller. They all wanted to go. All wanted to go. You know, like, I'll go with you, Dad. They didn't want to be with Dad. They wanted a Krispy Kreme donut. And we go there. I think it was two or three of them there with me that day, and I won't say who they are. I don't think I know. But they gave them all free donuts, and I was in line paying, and they're sitting there. You know, you get the Krispy Kreme stuff all over your chin. It's a good thing. And I'm like, hey, did you tell them thank you when you got those donuts? And I got the blank stare. I'm like, guess what? Next week you're not coming because you didn't say that, because you didn't say thank you, okay? So what did you do? I got their donuts next week, and I ate them all, so that was really good. It's like, so don't always think of it as a really, sometimes we're getting a little bit off, and God's not spanking us necessarily, but he'll try to get our attention, because it's like, if you can, like what Barney used to say, nip it in the bud, right? If you can get it in the beginning, you don't get to the far end. And so it's not unloving to do that. God loves us too much to let us just go on our own. By the way, look at what happens. Let's talk about regular child rearing for a minute. What happens when we don't do that? Are you ready? But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It hurts fathers too, but man, there's something about a child going bad that really affects a mom. But it's not just saying, it's under the context of, you know why? There's no rod and reproof. And by the way, mothers are just unbelievably unforgiving. I mean, their son killed 6 people, he's in jail. It's like, no, he's just misunderstood. You know, couldn't they abduct? No. But you left them. That happened because we didn't bother to discipline them. So we got, it's loving to try to teach them some things. So God disciplines or chastens us because of his love with us. And this is the same thing, but a different angle. Also, the next little bullet there, because of his relationship with us. Because of his relationship with us. Verse 12 again. He does it even as a father, the son. And look what he says. In whom he what? Delighteth. You know. It's like, this kid's a little brat, man. I'm enjoying. No, that's the, we love our children. And they are our children. So there's a relationship there. And because of the love in their relationship, and because you delight in them, you're trying to teach them something. You're trying to make sure they don't ruin their lives. You're trying to help them to grow and be mature and do right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 9. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you. He dealeth with you as sons. Now look at it. This is a rhetorical question. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? By the way, we live in a different time now, don't we? No one wants to discipline their children. But that's just a given. For if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. Not just not a word you tell somebody. It means you don't have a dad. Well, you know what? God never chastens me. You're not saved. You're not saved. I didn't say that. He said it. If you can live in sin and you have no remorse and you're open and blatant about it and you continue on in it, after God brings things into your life, you're not saved. I'm just telling you. Pastor, you're trying to talk us out of our salvation? No, I'm trying to talk you into salvation. Amen. Right? Come on. If you're saved and you do wrong, the first thing that happens is the Spirit of God convicts you. In the moment, or you're in the wrong place, you're with the wrong people, and you do this because you think it's going to bring you pleasure, as soon as you're done, if you're saved, you're going to feel horrible. That's the Spirit of God's conviction to get you to work it, get it right. Be thankful for that, right? But if not, you need to check your salvation. If not, then you have been convicted and you're willingly ignoring that conviction. That's the most dangerous place a Christian can be at. That's bad. In other words, you've turned the conviction level down so low, you can't hear it anymore. You say no, you say no, you say no, and that voice gets lower and lower and lower and lower until you tune it out. Right? You sear your conscience. And so be very careful about that. But God does love us. That's why he does it. Furthermore, verse 9 of Hebrews there. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. By the way, if you're doing your job as a father and you're doing it the right way and disciplining and loving the kids and mixing that together correctly, as the kids get older and understand it, they'll give you reverence because they understand it as they get older. You know what happens to help them to understand it? Here's what it is. Are you ready? They have children. And now they were once a little Oswald. Now they have a little Oswald. And they understand it. Okay? And they'll get it. If it's right. And so a father, I'm not going to be my kid's father. I'm going to be his buddy. God didn't say to be his buddy. Can you do buddy things with him? Yes, go do fun things and do all that stuff. But there's a line that's never crossed. Okay? That's, you're the dad. We had fathers of our flesh. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We reverence our fathers as we get older. We understand that the discipline was good for us if we got it. Then why aren't we thankful to God when he allows things in our life that molds us, that teaches us, that corrects us, that keeps us in line? You do understand when we got saved, salvation brought a closer relationship. He's not just God now, he's our Father. And we are part of his family. Understand this. Boy, this is a tough, I could go all night on this. Relationship brings responsibility. It does. But you know what our problem is? We want the relationship, but we don't want the responsibility. We have a child, but we don't want to be a parent. We still want to go out and do our own thing. You know, you get married. By the way, you get married and you want to act like you're single. You have a responsibility now, okay? You have children, you still want to act, you have a responsibility now. I just want to go hang out with my buddies. Your children should be your buddies. Your spouse should be your buddies. That's our society. Well, I need some me time. Get over yourself. And I'm not saying you can't do anything for yourself. Don't get me wrong. But when you have everything in order in the right spot, it works a lot better. But most of us now, kids are just an add-on. You know, animals have children. You know what the shame is? This thing irritates me. A lot of animals are better parents than we are. They don't abandon their kids. It used to be fathers that abandoned their children, right? You know, she can keep them and I'm leaving her, blah, blah, blah. Now it's the other way around. What is wrong with us? I'm thankful God did not abandon us. I'm thankful God says, I'm in on your life. And if there's a distance there, understand this, it's never because of God. It's because of us. God desires to be close to us. God desires to treat us as we are his family. That is how we know, because it's a relationship thing, that God's chastening is always right because he loves us, he's our father. And as a proper father, he wants what's best for you and I. He knows what's best for you and I, and so he knows how to get us to that place if we'll trust him. And so we have a relationship with God, and part of God's relationship with us is the fact that he wants he wants to discipline us. Next, because of God's plan for us. Because of God's plan for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. For they verily, for a few days, talking about a regular father, chastened us for their own pleasure. But he for our what? Profit. Now come on, you all know it's true. Okay, if you're a parent. Sometimes they're just like, kids are a little amped. How many know what I'm talking about? And you drop the discipline on them just because you're tired of hearing it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on now. Come on. Now, we don't have children anymore. I mean, Emily's not running around the house anymore at 17. You know, but the grandkids are. And it's like, hey, quiet or you're going to bed. Okay? Now, am I doing that for their discipline? Probably not. I'm doing it more for my enjoyment. Okay? Because we're not right sometimes. Now, that's not the right thing. Well, okay, hey, it is easier just to put them to bed. I won't say which one. We had a group of them over there, and they were all amped. And I'm like, there was a ringleader. I put the ringleader to bed. The rest of them were fine, okay? But the better thing to do than that is maybe to teach them, like, hey. But I did teach them, like, hey, if you don't listen, you go to bed. So there we go. We're trying to train you. But sometimes if we're not careful, we only discipline our children when they irritate us. And it's not for them, it's for us. And all of us would put both of our hands up on that one. But God does it. He does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Children don't like it. Hey, you can't do that. Hey, this is happening. Hey, we're doing that. They don't like it. But you understand that it's trying to produce something afterwards. So what is God's plan? Look at what it says. God's plan is to produce fruitfulness. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit. Fruitfulness. A lack of discipline produces the fruit of a chaotic life. Most people are okay with drama. They're just used to it. Pastor, that's just how I grew up. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Chaos is look, if there's no peace in your home, something's wrong. And we had a little sign someone gave us said some call it chaos, we call it family. Okay, how you know I'm talking about? That's reality. There's a peaceful kind of chaos. But there's another kind of chaos in their life, in their actions. And they grow up without that, there's chaos in their life. And the same is true spiritually. If we're not allowing God to work, God knows that there's not going to be any peace in our life. There's not going to be that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And everything's just going to constantly be drama and upheaval. And it's just one thing after another. You know why? We just didn't get it. That's not God's plan. God's trying to bring that into our life. God's plan also is to teach us to be holy. The fruit of righteousness. Now, kids act up. I get it. Sometimes it's not discipline. You didn't give them a nap. Right? But sometimes you've not taught them to listen. Remember one time years ago, I don't know if you remember, we took a couple out. There was a missionary couple. And I get it. Their kid was, they're all over the road. And we took, Hannah was a little girl, baby. They were both about the same age. And so I don't know why we got stuck with her and the other one. But we were sitting there eating, and their kid was like next level, throwing fit and all that. And, and Hannah just sat there real quiet. And then she saw the other kid misbehaving. She started, I'm like, hey. And she stopped. Okay. We got to teach them when they're young. Well, they're just, I get it. By the way, let me just throw this in. It has nothing to do with it, but let boys be boys. They need a little chaos in their life. Okay? Well, they're out in the back eating dirt. They might skin their knee. Man, they need to skin their knees and their elbows. Let them be boys. Don't. We're so feminizing our boys. It's not necessary. It's not discipline to make our little boys act like girls. Okay? They're gonna do stuff like vroom vroom, and they're gonna wrestle, and they're gonna fight. Good. Okay. Thank you. One. And that's why your little boy is not acting like a little boy. Okay? I'm not saying we want them so disciplined they can't breathe, they can't move, they can't act like kids. Man, sometimes they need to run over their brother's head with a truck. I understand that. Let's go ahead and I tell them, hey, let's calm down a little bit, but they're boys. Okay? But they're just acting like hellions. He's 13 years old now. Can we get a little help here? But holiness, a lack of discipline, listen to me, produces a result of sinful life. And by the way, I understand. I feel for my mom. She raised us by herself. And I'll be honest with you. I was a troublemaker and all that stuff. But I will say this. I would have been way worse if it wasn't for her. She worked hard at it. Very hard. She'd go like, hey, you want to go to a baseball game? She'd take me to baseball games. Fact of the matter is, she knew I liked it. She knew more about sports than I did. I'd be in Bible college, and I'd call her, hey, Mom, how you doing? She goes, man, the Dodgers stink. And I'm like, okay, I mean, they do. But she worked hard, and I know single parents, sometimes it's hard, and that's why church comes up alongside to help you, but let's do our best. We want, if they're totally, totally, totally out of control, that, anyhow, let's do this last one, we'll be done. The wrong attitude about how I respond. We already looked at this, we won't spend a lot of time, and we'll be done. We're not supposed to despise the chastening of the Lord. We already said that. It's when we refuse it, we reject it, we avoid it. Neither be weary of his correction. You know what weary means? It means a sickening dread. I just don't want to deal with it. I just want everything to be, and I'm like you. I have a big family, so I understand chaos. I don't like drama. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, can we just dial the drama back? But we can't, but God sometimes deals with us, and let's not get to the point where we want, well, if everything's not a, you know, some, and I like to be organized, I like to be clean and all that stuff, but you know, when you have a family, that doesn't happen all the time, right? If it was me, I would have ruined the kids, like, no, you can't do it, put that away, two cars in the ground, I'm gonna freak, no, it's like, all right, let them go. But you can't, there's a dread, like, oh, I don't want God to do anything. Sometimes that's the only way we learn. The bottom line is that we must see correction for what it is. Here it is. God changing us to become more in line with what he wants us to be. That's us as an individual. And how he wants us to behave. That's the outer actions of who we are. Okay? If we can develop the inward and get them doing the right thing, and God can get us doing the right thing inwardly, being the right person, seeing Christianity from the way it is, seeing the Word of God for what it is, our lives are going to match up better in that essence, in that instance. Now, let me say this. I have to give a warning and we're done. Before we move on, here it is. Getting to a place where we are comfortable with rejecting God's warning, and this is the nicest way I can put it. It's a really bad place to be. Okay? Everything else is super nice, but listen, look, read this. Look at Proverbs. He that being often reproved repeatedly. If you're, as I mentioned earlier, if you're a Christian and you're doing something wrong, you're going to be hit in the face. Not hit in the face, but you know, you're gonna run head on to things that are showing you and telling you that what you're doing is not right. It could be conviction, it'll be reproofs, it'll be things that are coming in your life that are showing you that that course of action is wrong, and God is very loving, and it says it's repeated, there'll be several times, it'll go on for however long God decides, but he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That's another way of saying, I'm not going to listen. I'm rejecting it. You understand that? Right? There's a difference. You tell your kid, go do something, and they're like, okay, and then they don't do it later. There's a difference in that than saying, go do that, and they're like, no. Are you with me? Asking them to do something, and they're going to do it, but maybe they slip or they're immature and they don't get it done, is one thing. Telling you no to your face, that's when the discipline goes nuclear. But he that being off reproof hardeneth his neck, I'm rejecting it openly. We all sin, right? But there's a difference between willingly walking into it, knowing it's wrong, and saying, I don't care, I'm doing it anyhow. You may get upset about something and treat someone in a way that's wrong, but you did it in the heat of the moment, right? Are you with me? That's sin, okay. But there's a difference with that, let's just say immorality. No one falls into immorality, it's not the sin of the moment. It's a sin of choice. Big difference. So he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, I didn't write this, he did, shall suddenly be destroyed. That's the result. It comes to a point where it's just like, all right, you're not listening. Oh, God's going to dump on me? Maybe he will. Or maybe it's just the consequences of sin come rolling in like a flood. See, we think sometimes that all chastening and all problems are because God says you sinned, here's the punishment, here's the consequence. Do you know a lot of the consequences of sin are built into the sin? In other words, the sin is what brings the consequence. God's trying to keep us from doing something that automatically brings a consequence. But it says it's going to happen. Well, I'm just doing my own thing and I'm getting away with it. It's not going to last forever. Shall suddenly be destroyed. And look at, you say, if that's not bad enough, and that without remedy, you're done. God's just like, if that's what, sometimes you just can't do anything, right? You might have a child, you raised them, you tried to do your best, you tried to do the right thing, and maybe they were right, and whatever happened is they got into something that they made a choice, and they got into something they shouldn't have, and they're not listening to their warnings. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. It's just, it's going to run its course, and they're going to pay. My hope with people is I hope they get it together before they hit the end. Because you can keep doing it and start having some bad consequences, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. Now you get to the point where the consequences are done, out of control. There are areas of your life you have permanently destroyed. It just happens. That's just natural, right? You do something ignorant, and you can get forgiven or whatever, but there might be some doors that were permanently closed because of that action. But here's the whole point of it. And I'm not trying to be negative, but it is what it is. You were warned. He that being off reproved. See, that's where God's love is. If God didn't love us, he'd just say, you want to do that? Hands off. Go. Mess up your life. But you know what God does? He sends these things like, hey, come on. Let's turn it. Let's work on this. Let's not get, and it always starts little, so God's there to say, hey, come on, let's stop before it gets down here. But if you blow through that and you get down to this worst end over here, that's on you. So what is the whole point of it to end on a positive? Let's just listen in the front end. Let's just say, God, if you're trying to teach me something, whatever's going on in my life, God, can you just make it clear I want to get it? Because I don't want to get down there, I want to stay here. And that's because God is our Father and he loves us. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. We're a couple minutes late. Let's pray together tonight. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us and how you show your love for us sometimes in disciplining and sending things our way that we need to listen to keep us from messing up, to keep us from destroying our life, to keep us from ruining the lives of those we love. And I pray that you would help us to desire to be wise enough to hear those things, to be open to what you're trying to teach us, to get those rebukes, to listen to the Spirit of God when he convicts us that first time. Lord, help us not to get to the worst case scenario. Bless these dear folks and help us to follow you, God. Develop the wisdom you want each and every one of us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.